Your honesty, I'm humbled before you. So what's something else that's old? God is old, but he's new every morning. How is that? The Ancient of Days, that's right, that's one of the appellations that he gives himself. And what else is old? The universe
and what?
The pyramids? Right, exactly. If you've been to Egypt, you've seen the pyramids. They were standing there when Moses lived right there in that city. Our Jewish ancestors, when they were in Egypt, they could have looked and said, oh, look at those building projects. Luckily, we didn't have to build those. Said that or not. But the pyramids were there when Moses was in Egypt. It's amazing to think that we could see something that Moses saw. Doesn't that kind of blow your mind about history? When I was a bit younger, I thought old was, to 30. I thought oldies. Those were the songs that were only 25 years, that they played on those, bebop stations. The songs from the 50s or something. And, at that point they were, maybe only 30 years old. So there you go, 30. They were only 30 years, but they called them oldies. And so I don't know what they call them now, but so
I remember
my concept of old was completely, this is not doing us any good if the battery's not working. I'm recording just fine. Wow. Okay. Sorry to those listening on the recording that we had to do that. So what is old? It blew my whole understanding of history to think about what's old. I remember when I went to Israel the first time, standing in places that were not 200 years old, like our country. The Civil War is only 150 years ago. But when you go to Israel, you'll stand in places that are 2,000, 3,000, or 4,000 years old. That's like multiple times older than the Civil War. It makes the Civil War seem like recent news, but of course anything that happened before yesterday is old news nowadays. But my idea of history was really blown out of the water. It was weird. It was really weird standing looking at buildings that were there at the time of Yeshua, or buildings, remains of buildings that stood at the time of King David. Really, really amazing to blow my concept of history. There is a poem in the Psalms that talks about history, and it talks about what is old. The poem is Psalm 77, and it is written by one of David's Levitical choir leaders, written for one of David's other Levitical choir leaders. How nice of him. He wrote it, dedicated it to his sidekick, who was from one of the other Levite clans. And it is Psalm 77. And in this psalm, we have a new understanding of what is old. It says, I cry aloud to God. I cry to God that he may give ear to me. In my time of distress, I turn to the Lord with my hand flowing all night without respite. I will not be comforted. I call God to mind and I moan. I complain and my spirit fails. You have held my eyelids open. I am troubled. I cannot speak. My thoughts turn to days of old, to years long past. I recall at night my songs. I commune with myself. My spirit inquires, will the Lord reject forever and again never show favor? Has his faithfulness disappeared forever? Will his promise be unfulfilled for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger stifled his compassion? And I said, this is to terrify me. The right hand of the Most High has changed. I recall the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I recall the wonders of old. I recount all your works. I speak of your acts. O God, your ways are holiness. What God is great as our God? You are the God who works wonders. You have manifested your strength among the peoples. By your arm, you redeemed your people, the children of Jacob and Joseph. The waters saw you, O God. The waters saw you and were convulsed. The very deep quaked as well. Clouds streamed water. The heavens rumbled. Your arrows flew about. Your thunder rumbled like wheels. Lightning lit up the world. The earth quaked and trembled. Your way was through the sea, your path through mighty waters, though your tracks could not be seen. You led your people like a flock in the care of Moses and Aaron. This is an amazing poem, and it talks about history. It talks about what we remember, and it talks about what is old. It uses these words repeatedly, setting up a wonderful contrast the way that most biblical poems do. It begins by the poet crying out to God with his voice. My voice to God. My voice to God. It repeats the opening phrase twice in the Hebrew. The idea of crying out in that opening verses is in the imperfect in Hebrew, which carries the idea of a continual action. There is continual crying to the Lord. His hands are stretched out to God at night. His days are filled with distress. He says, I remember God and I moan. I complain and my spirit fails. Here is a poet that is going through some unspecified trauma. We're not even told exactly what the trauma is that he's going through. It doesn't necessarily seem to be something that he's brought on himself, but we're also not told that it's necessarily something from purely external, from attack or malicious slander or something like this. It's an unspecified trauma, but traumatic it is. This poet is in the what I described once as the Sahara of the soul. He is in some sort of traumatic desert. He's crying out to God with his voice, but if you look and compare the first couple verses with the third and fourth verses, you'll see that after a while, even his voice gives way. It reaches the point where he can't even speak with his voice. It starts out, "My voice to God, my voice to God, please give ear to me." But by the third or fourth verse, it simply says, "I call God to mind and I moan." His voice is turned to moaning. His thoughts and his complaints have turned inward. His spirit fails. Usually when we call God to mind, it is something to encourage ourselves. Something to reflect on the fact that, as Rav Shaul says in Philippians 4, "Be anxious for nothing, the Lord is near." But here, when the poet remembers God, he simply moans. There is no more hope. There was once songs. There was once joy. Once God was seen as loyal and compassionate. But he says his thoughts turned to days of old, to years long past. He thinks back to those times of joy, to his songs in the night. Once his nights were filled with joy. Once his nights were filled with song. But now, his nights are filled with stretching his hands out, trying to grasp something. But he says that his spirit won't even be comforted. Now all he can do is reflect with his thoughts. His voice has disappeared, but there is three verses in the middle of the poem that ask six questions. Three verses asking six questions that he doesn't even ask now with his voice. It's just something that we're told that he muses in his heart. He says, "God, will you reject forever? Will you never show favor again? Has the chesed, the loving kindness of the Lord, disappeared? Will you be unfaithful? Has the Lord forgotten how to be merciful? Has the Lord in his anger withheld compassion?" As I read and studied these questions that the poet asked, I reflected that most of these questions use a word from this week's Torah portion, from the Torah portion of the Sabbath during Passover, Exodus chapter 34, the 13 attributes of God. Exodus 34, verse 6 says, God identifies himself, "I am the Lord, who is great in compassion, merciful, full of chesed ve'emet, full of loving kindness and truth. I am slow of anger." Exodus 34, verse 6. The 13 attributes is where God identifies his personality, his character, his identity. But now the poet in Psalm 77 seems to be questioning God's very essence, God's identity. It's like, God, who are you? Who are you? Because I once had songs. I once had joy. You were once loyal and compassionate. But those were in days long ago, in years long past. And then right after that, he manages to say something with his voice. He says, "To this I will appeal." It's almost as if he's terrified, which was in the idea that Rashi had from this verse. He says, "The right hand of the Most High has changed," and it literally startles him into a new reflection. He says, if you have the Hebrew version, it's verse 12. If you're in the English, it's verse 11. There is a new transition that comes in the poem. It says, "I will recall."